Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Bible study from headquarters. Let's begin with Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And they tried to whip up trouble over this point. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" Verse 7, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And I'll tell you one reason why there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents is because it's so rare. That's one reason. For someone to deeply and completely, thoroughly, and genuinely repent before God. It's a big event. And there's joy in heaven when that takes place. And it happened when all of us individually repented as well. But what he's saying here is, he's not trying to cater to people that don't want to hear him or think they don't need him. He's trying to help those who want to hear him and who realize they need him. And that's what he's going to continue to do, and that's what we're doing today. We're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God to the whole world. And then when someone responds to that, wherever they might be, we're going to do everything we can to help them along the road toward deep repentance. Notice verse 8. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends, her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." And of course, that's one of the reasons why we celebrate someone being baptized. It's a big event. I would say probably in the life of a minister doing the duties of the ministry, there's probably nothing that matches an individual that comes to the point to where they deeply repent and they are baptized. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to baptize someone and to lay hands on them and ask that God give them his Holy Spirit because of all that it means. It's the most important step in anyone's life, this thing of repentance and baptism. And it's the most important step. And frankly, it's the most important occurrence in the church for someone to deeply repent and be baptized. It's so rare and it's so wonderful and it means so much. And so that's what he's saying here. There's joy in heaven when that takes place. And we're going to do whatever we can to help an individual who comes to that point. Not spend our time on the big masses of people and activities and all that kind of thing that think they don't need us or need our help. But we're going to go to those who need our help, who want to hear, and who will respond as we lead and guide and direct them toward the kingdom. Now we get to verse 11, this famous section of the Bible, the parable of the lost son. Some people call it the prodigal son. The Bible doesn't say anything about the prodigal son. Prodigal means waste. It's talking about two sons, and we'll see what the lesson here is. And it's a tremendous lesson for all of us. It says here in verse 11, Luke 15, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me,' and he divided unto them his living." He gave each one what was coming to them by dividing what he had. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Just blew it all and threw it all away. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." He was really in a bad way. He started off being rich, and he just blew it all and wasted it all. And he ended up out in the field with pigs eating husks to try to keep his belly full. And no man gave unto him. Verse 17, a key verse in the Bible. It has to happen to all of us, this matter of coming to ourselves. We don't have to do what he did, but at some point in our life, as I wrote in the magazine, the fog lifts and we come to ourselves. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, when it really dawned on him, the predicament he's in and what he needs to do, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, I will go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. There's deep, true repentance here. And that's what the key thing is that brings good things about. Deep, true repentance. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And our Father in heaven has compassion on us when he sees this attitude of deep repentance as well. And he forgives us, just like this human father did his son. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, as we study the Bible, if we really pay attention, we'll learn a lot of sidebar things. Like, for instance, it's not wrong to wear a ring. Of course, we can bedeck ourselves with jewelry to where it's gaudy and it draws attention to us. But to have a necklace for the women, or a brooch, or a watch or a ring, there's nothing wrong with that. He says here, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The fatted calf, a special calf kept for a special occasion. And he wanted to use that for this very special occasion. For this my son was dead, virtually, spiritually speaking, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He was gone. He was finished. He was through, and he's come to himself, and he's come back, and now we've got him back. We've got him back with us. He's not going to be lost anymore. He's not going to be dead spiritually. He's alive. He's going to be alive spiritually. He's back. It was cause for tremendous rejoicing. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Once again, good music is not bad. It's good. And dancing the right way, nothing wrong with that at the particular time, in a particular occasion where it's fitting. Of course, I won't get started on this, but I think all of you realize and know that the music today, a lot of it's not music at all. It doesn't have the elements of music. It doesn't have tone. It doesn't have a proper rhythm. You can't understand the words, and if you do, you don't want to understand them. They're so rotten. It doesn't have a melody. It isn't pleasant. And the dancing, I mean, it's just a bunch of jerking and bumping and grinding and all of that. But proper music and proper dancing at the proper time is nice. It's fine. It's an enjoyable thing. So they had that here. And we'll have it in the kingdom of God. We'll have a lot of activities and meals and celebrations and dancing and music and wonderful sporting events. We'll have a well-rounded, balanced life in the kingdom of God among the population on the earth. We'll be spirit beings, but we'll be overseeing that. Ambassador College was a tremendous example for all of this. Mr. Armstrong always said that we want to learn to be well-rounded and balanced. And so we learned a lot about music and about proper dancing and about sports and about art and about all kinds of creative things, as well as spiritual things. Verse 26, the elder son heard all of this, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, your brother is come, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And what was the elder son's reaction? Isn't that great? He's back. That's wonderful. I want to get there as quick as I can and join in the celebration. No, that wasn't his reaction. Jealousy was his reaction. And he was angry, verse 28. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve you, neither transgressed I at any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid or the fatted calf, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come, who has devoured your living with harlots, you have killed for him the fatted calf." So instead of thinking big and being happy that here's his brother who was lost and now he's found, who was in trouble and now he's back home, it's all about me, myself, and I. What about me? Here I have been doing what I'm supposed to do all this time, and you didn't kill a fatted calf for me. He went out and blew everything, but he comes back and he gets the fatted calf. But the point is, the son that did the right thing, he'll have tremendous blessings for doing that. And the one who was lost and now is found is going to have blessings too, and he came back. What a blessing. Some people are self-righteous like that. And somebody might go out and make all kind of mistakes and choose the hard way to learn the lessons, but finally makes it back bunged up and banged up and scarred, but they make it back. Let's rejoice. And those who stay loyal and faithful and don't do that, that's a wonderful thing, and they're going to be especially blessed. But the attitude shown here is not the right attitude. Look what his father said. He said unto him, "Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. I know you've been with me all this time, and you're going to get everything I have. You're not going to miss out on anything." But here's the point, verse 32. "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." And I hope that the son repented of his attitude, was sorry that he was angry, and joined in the festivities. It's all about keeping things in perspective and thinking big and not being petty and realizing the big thing is it all turns out well, not, "But what about me? What about me?" That attitude is something that God actually despises. Okay, we'll stop there. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.